All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, April 20th of 2024. Apologies for the late start here. I was having some technical difficulties, but we are all set and ready to rock and roll now. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live on the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So looking ahead today, we have a four-game NBA playoff slate. We have an early eight-game MLB slate. We have a five-game MLB main slate later this evening. And then we have a four-game UFL slate, two-game hockey slate. So ton of DFS action coming at you today if you're not signed up with SaberSim. And want to check us out, we have a five-day no-strings-attached free trial. I always recommend people trying it out on the weekends. Get access to all the weekend sports. We even have Xfinity today. We have Cup Race tomorrow for NASCAR. So a lot of DFS sports to play. So get in on the action. But with that said, going to get the app pulled up here, and we are going to jump right in. So I'm going to pull up this MLB slate for today. Let me get SaberSim up here on the screen. All right. And taking a peek here, no questions to get us started today. So always a good opportunity to run some builds and just talk about how, you know, different ways to use SaberSim and approach the slate today, et cetera, here. So got the MLB early slate pulled up here. First thing I'm going to do is make two small adjustments to projections here. And then the reason I need to do that is because if you're playing on DraftKings, they have a rule where it's like part of their community guidelines where you got to make two adjustments to projections when using an optimizer here. So I'm going to, you know, make my two adjustments, going to see the build lineups button become active here. I think one thing I'm always going to do for MLB pretty much all the time, except for like a two game slate, is turn on this don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule. Just really no need for that negative correlation here. Correlation slider will take care of that for the most part, but in general, we really don't need to, you know, build our lineups and allow for those players to be in the same lineup together. So better to just exclude it here and then kick off some sims. All right. While I do this here, I'm going to jump over and grab us a contest sim. So maybe I'm playing the $4.20 max. The four seamer is always a good contest here. So I'm going to grab my contest sim for that contest, jump back to my build. Ooh, I did 5,000 lineups. Usually I only do 500 for the sake of time here. So I'm going to stop the build here at about 1600 lineups, more than usual, still plenty of lineups to work with. And once these lineups load here, I'm going to run my contest sim. So you know, good order of operations is to make your adjustments to projections, run your lineups, and then automatically run your contest sim. What running the contest sim does is it gives you additional sorting metric options. So if you come in here and you look at your exposures and you're like, okay, you know, top exposures are Reese Olson and CJ Abrams. Well, that's under the Saber score formula, right? When you switch to your risk adjusted ROI under the contest sim, you might have completely different top exposures. So you don't even need to spend any time sitting here, you know, adjusting your exposures before running your contest sim. Just run it, come into your sorting metrics, switch your sorting metric, and then now you're going to basically get new top plays, right? So now we don't see Reese Olson at the top here. We see Yordan Alvarez, we see Bailey Ober, we see Jose Altuve, we see Nestor Cortez, four names that were below CJ Abrams and Reese Olson prior to switching our sorting metric, right? So always better to run that contest sim, go and change your sorting metric, and then go from there. So what I like to do here is I like to start, you know, we talk about like this right to left approach, right? So sorting metrics, and then min uniques, and then we jump over to the player table. So what I would do here is count how many players are in this lineup. There's 10 players in a DraftKings lineup. I'm automatically going to set my min uniques to half and use that as like a starting point. And then I'm going to scroll down in my set of lineups here and see how far down I've had to go to find 20 lineups that have five players different from every other lineup in the set. And I've had to go down to lineup 67. I think that's fine. I'm happy to go a little bit further. So let's see where we get with six. Okay, lineup 106. Sim ROI is only 7%, so something to take account of there. And then at Mini Unique 7, we go down to lineup 211. So this is like a good stopping point for me personally, is basically where Sim ROI is basically neutral. I never want to play negative Sim ROI lineups, but I'm okay playing lineups with a very small positive Sim ROI. And the reason for that is I'm okay trading diversification for some Sim ROI here, playing, you know, a small positive Sim ROI, but getting to that 7 Mini Uniques where I'm like really, really getting spread out is worth it to me. So in this case, you know, I go and look at my pitchers. I have 60% Bailey Ober and then nobody else over 30%. Okay, that's fine. And then if I come over to my batters, I have no batter over 30% ownership. So taking a stand on a pitcher, which is like totally fine. You know, his ownership basically says he warrants it, like 40% ownership. We have 60% exposure. Pitchers are, you know, much closer to being normally distributed if you pull up their fantasy point distribution than batters are. If we go and look at our batters and we pull up, you know, Yordan Alvarez, big name hitter. And when his graph loads here, let's see if it loads. Try again. Maybe CJ Abrams. Okay, so batter graphs aren't loading. What I would do now is just like a refresh the app here. So I'm just going to do Control Shift R since I am on a Windows PC. And let's try that again. Boom, now it loads. So this is actually really interesting, right? When we look at Yordan Alvarez's graph, it's this big, you know, right skewed data set. But most often, players' most likely outcome is usually 0 points, and his is 16%. Well, there's like a number of sims where he's actually getting, I would say, closer to like 5 points, like 17% of the time. So he's probably one of the very, this is probably one of the very few instances where a player's most likely outcome is not zero fantasy points, right? But you could see that, you know, his projection of 11.7, you know, he's getting that way, way, way less of the time, maybe like 10%-ish of the time here. And, you know, that's not his most likely outcome. So I say that to say it's better to be spread out on your batters and take some bigger stands on your pitchers just because of their fantasy point distributions here. So all that looks good to me. I'm going to check my stack type. Fifteen out of our 20 lineups are five stacks. And in our pool here, we have about like over 80% five stacks. So that matches up for me. And then if I want to come in here and check team stacks, I'm really spread out here, but that's fine. You know, when we look at our pool exposures, we have Houston coming up like a bunch and then everybody else like under 20%. So super flat there. I think, you know, having no more than 20% to any one team is fine. Go and check out my players, which we already did. So far, so good. You know, I wouldn't be opposed to like having some more Houston stacks here just because they're showing up at a way higher frequency than any other team here, right? I mean, 20% for Milwaukee and then 34% for Houston. So if you wanted to like take some type of stand, you know, taking a stand on Houston, I think would be like totally fine here. If you wanted to come in here and boost their minimum exposure, I wouldn't be opposed to that. All right, couple questions rolling in here. Deshaun said, I have a question about contest sims. Would it be a good idea to experiment with different contest sims instead of using the one that you're playing in? I would say no. And the reason for that is because the lineups that you're going to get are specifically leveraged for the payout structure of the contest that you're playing. So it's looking at, hey, how much prize goes to first place? How many entries cash, how big is the contest? And then it's taking into those factors and then it's giving you a lineup that works best in that specific format. Now, if you're, you know, optimizing for a satellite in an extreme example, and then you're taking that satellite and putting it into you know, a super flat payout structure contest, well, that lineup isn't optimized for that. So there's probably a lineup that works better in that format. So I would say stick to playing the lineups that are specific to the contest sim that you're optimizing for. Deshaun said, I also accidentally used ROI instead of risk-adjusted ROI, and I placed higher using ROI yesterday than I have using RAROI, so would be using ROI be better than using RAROI? So what I'll say here is that, you know, ROI is a fine sorting metric. The big difference between the two is that when we run the contest sim, what happens is we add up all the winnings for a lineup, and then we divide it by the entry fees, and then that becomes the ROI. Now, you could have two lineups that are both 100% ROI, but got to that value very, very differently. Like lineup one, let's say in an example, won the contest one time and then had a bunch of other high cash finishes. And then lineup two, who had the same ROI, let's say it won the contest three times and then never cashed again. Well, those lineups have very different payout distributions as far as how they earned their earnings in the contest sim, even though they have the same ROI. So basically what RAROI does is it looks at those differences and then tells you, hey, lineup one in this instance is a less risky lineup, is a better lineup to play where you're going to get a return more often than if you played the other lineup. Now, the other lineup is a little bit more boom or bust, a little bit better at, you know, having that high payout finish, but you're more likely to play a very, very contrarian lineup using ROI. So not to say ROI is bad, you know, the two are going to be correlated. They're going to be, you know, similar as far as like some of the plays you might get, you know, sometimes it could even be the same lineup up at the top, but usually the ROI lineups are just going to be a lot higher leverage. So if you're okay with, you know, bigger swings and you want to, you know, optimize for first place and first place only, I think that ROI is a fine option. All right. Mad King said, is there a way to make sure nobody in your MLB lineup is further than one at bat away? 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. So there is not a way to do that. There is not a way to say like, hey, make sure players are X positions away from each other. You know, I don't love that idea anyways. And the reason for that is just because I think our correlation values from our at-bat by at-bat sims are like really good. Like if I pull up Brendan Donovan here, right, he's a leadoff hitter and his correlations are to Paul Goldschmidt, to Wilson Contreras, to Victor Scott, right? We look at those three guys. It's the Brendan Donovan correlated to the two hitter, correlated to the three hitter, correlated to the nine hitter. So the builder understands like, hey, you know, this player's highest correlations are going to be to the players that are closest to him in the batting order, right? So the two hitter, the three hitter, the nine hitter, you know, the nine hitter comes even before the four hitter as far as the correlations, right? We see Victor Scott and then we see Nolan Arenado. So, you know, the builder is like really good at understanding all of these player by player correlations. That's why you get so many stacks of five stacks without even having to set a rule or anything like that. You're going to see it in the build settings as well, with correlation being all the way up to nine. So no way to curate against that. I actually think playing, you know, kind of odd type of stacks are like a good way to play some of the chalkiest batters on a slate and still have a unique lineup, right? Like we see Houston here is far and away the highest run total of the day at like 5.8. Well, you know, a lot of people using traditional optimizers are going to be playing, you know, some combination of like 1 through 6 hitters, right? But even like a good way to play them is like, hey, maybe you stack them like awkwardly, right? Like all nine hitters are going to get at bats. They're going to get, you know, opportunities. People get on base. So, you know, there's nothing that says like 7, 8, 9 are bad plays. All right. Second question here. When I build lineups, what is happening then when whatever that is, what happens to those lineups when I run a sim? Okay, good question. So let's go back to like a pre, you know, non-build, like home screen, you know, no lineups, right? So what happens here is you make your two adjustments to projections, right? You go to your settings. Now, when you click build lineups, depending on where your sim diversity slider is, we are going to randomly sample a number of sims for each game on the slate, and then we're going to run a slate simulation. So the easiest way to understand this is at the extremes. When sim diversity is at 10, what we are doing is we are plucking a single game sim from each game on the slate, and then we are running a slate simulation from those sims that we plucked, and then we are going to build the best lineup possible from how that version of the slate played out, and then we're going to put that lineup into your pool, and then we're going to go through that process 5,000 times. Now, at sim diversity zero, we are using the average projections in the app, which are the player's mean across all 5,000 game sims of each game on the slate, and then building you the best possible lineup. Everything in between from 1 to 9. At 9, we are going to use a handful of sims, maybe 5. And then that number of sims that we're using per game is going to increase as sim diversity gets lower and lower and lower until we get to 0, where we're using all of the sims. So higher sim diversity are a lower number of sims, a smaller group of sims per game on the slate, creating those slate simulations. And that is what's happening when we are building your lineups. Now, what happens with the contest sim once the lineups are built here is we are going to take each lineup and we are going to put it into a theoretical behind-the-scenes contest. And we're going to take lineup one. We're going to put it into a contest with our field lineups, which are the lineups that create our ownership projections. So our ownership projections are not just a percentage. They are an exposure. They are how often a player came up when we ran what we call an ownership build. We have specific builds here that create our ownership projections. You can see them in the contest tab. You go down to field lineups. We have 13 sets of ownership projections based on stakes, based on entry fees, based on number of entries allowed in a contest. You could pull any one of these up and you can see what these lineups look like. So we have, you know, a set of field lineups that are 10,000 lineups. And then when you come in and look at the exposures, these are going to be the ownership projections. So if I go and cross check, you know, I see Bailey Ober in 39.6% of these 10,000 lineups. Well, when I go to the home screen here and I go and look at Bailey Ober, 39.63 ownership. So that is his exposure in that ownership build here. Just stopping by to say I appreciate your dedication to the process. Salute, my friend. Appreciate it, man. Yep, happy to be here. You know, a lot of people tuning in on a Saturday morning, so I appreciate you guys, you know, out here trying to get better, and I hope that, you know, you guys have some success today. All right, next question. You need to add the lineup thing as an option. I have an ultimate subscription for the year and may drop next season because of this. You know, I'm happy to take things back to the team in regards to feature requests. So, you know, that is definitely something that I can let them know that people are asking for. All right, quick question. With an all-day slate like NBA, is it optimal to game stack? I would say that, you know, I'm not super worried about game stacking. Like, you know, when I sit down to build my lineups, like, oh, you know, I need the game stack. I think one thing I would be more concerned about is optimizing as the slate goes on, right? So one thing that you can do here is, you know, you could build your lineups for Orlando and Cleveland here. And then, you know, when this game ends or when this game is, you know, in the fourth quarter, basically before the next game starts, come back into the app and then run a late swap, right? If you're on the ultimate plan and you have access to the live projections, basically what you're doing is you're re-optimizing your lineups based on how the first game played out. So you're going to get those actual scores, those live projections, what players did good, what players did bad, and then you're going to get to re-optimize your lineups for the rest of the slate. So basically, if you have, you know, the best players in your lineup, the builder's going to understand that. I'm like, hey, we're off to like a really good start. Let's, you know, make sure this lineup gets the rest of the way there. Or if you had a bad start, like your lineup didn't do good, it's going to be like, hey, maybe we need to put in some more risky plays to get back some of our cash equity and get as high of a return possible given this slow start. So I would say late swapping and lineup optimization as the day goes on is a good option here. Well explained, build slim explanation. Thank you. Yeah, man. Happy to help out. Aaron said, what app are you on? I'm new. This is the SaberSim app. So app.sabersim.com. And, you know, you can If you need any help, go to the top right corner, go to our help docs. This will open up our support library. And then we have a really good getting started video that'll show you how to use the app from start to finish, right? Oops, I didn't mean to do that. Let's go entire screen. So when I click help, it's going to open up our support library. This getting started with SaberSim video is an awesome video to watch if you are new to using SaberSim. And then I could just actually drop that link here in the chat. That way you have easy, it's easily accessible. So just drop that in the YouTube chat. All right. A couple questions here from Absolute Zero. All right. Is there any way to lock in hand-built lineups that I want to keep while adding SaberSim-built lineups? Okay, so first, there's two questions here. So the first one, what I would do here is if you have hand-built lineups, what I would do is just add them to your pool. And the easiest way to do that is, you know, say I have 20 lineups, right? Well, what I would do is I would go down to the last lineup in my set here, and then I would use the little pencil icon. And then I would just adjust it, right? You could take players out of your lineup. You could put players in. So then what I would do is go in here, you know, say I don't have Hall. Maybe I have Miles Mikolas. You know, I don't have Lizardo, whatever. And then I click save, right? And then when I save, it's going to lock that lineup and basically like prioritizing it, saying, hey, I always want this lineup to be part of my set of lineups, even if I lower my number of lineups from 20 down to like 5. And then it'll even give you this little edited column showing you the lineup that you edited. So I think that's probably the easiest way to incorporate hand-built lineups with other lineups that SaberSim has here for you. Second part of the question was related to Mad King's question, any way to set certain players to use, to only use in stacks of 4 or 5? I think you can do this. Let's see. So what I would say is I would do a group rule, probably automatic. And then I would say if at least one per team, and then I would add a requirement that says batting order, maybe greater than 6, then use at least 2 from the same team. So what I'm saying here is like, hey, if I'm going to use one player from a team, and then I'm leaving pitcher unchecked, who is lower in the order, maybe they're a 7, 8, 9 hitter, then I want to use at least 2 players from the same team and basically say, if I have a 7, 8, or 9 hitter, I want them to be a 3 stack. And you could do something like this. So use this requirement option, use the if instead of the use in the group rule option and figure out the right way to write your rule. But something along these lines should help you to get to the outcome that you're looking for. All right. Zach said, if I build lineups and run a sim before a team confirms, then that team confirms their lineup. What do I need to do? Do I need to rebuild and rerun? It depends, you know, if the, for instance, yesterday I built some lineups and I had George Springer in my Toronto stacks, and then George Springer ended up being out. What I would do in that case is just rerun your build if it's still pre-slate. If it's post-slate, then you're probably going to have to late swap there. Or what you can do is, like, say you're playing NBA. Well, in our NBA lineup alert channel, you're going to be able to see when projections get adjusted. So like, for instance, say you're playing the slate today and you already build your lineups, but the lineups aren't confirmed. Well, when those lineups get confirmed in the NBA lineup alert channel in Discord, a sim's going to kick off. And then after the sim kicks off, it'll summarize whether there are any players moved plus or minus 2 fantasy points. And if nobody did, it'll say no significant projection changes. So if there aren't significant projection changes, I think it's fine to just leave it. If players do move plus or minus 2 points, I would consider rebuilding. That's like basically the threshold that we internally agreed upon that says like, hey, you know, if somebody moves plus or minus 2 points, probably good to like let people know, and you know, it can have an impact on your exposures. All right. Jumping back to the office hours. Absolute Zero said, thanks so much. Office hours is amazing. Glad you're enjoying it, man. Awesome. happy to give you a good answer there. Matt King said, can you give an idea of things you guys are working on for the future? Yeah, I mean, we just released like a huge update, you know, yesterday. Players in your lineups being out, and you can even get mobile push notifications. You know, that's like a huge one for us right now. So if you guys missed that, there was an announcement here. I'll show you guys what it looks like. And we do have a support document here, how to set up mobile SaberSim notifications. Again, if you guys are on Ultimate, this will work here. And then I will show you guys what it looks like. So this happened for me yesterday with the George Springer thing. And I got like a notification that says like, hey, such and such player, it has been marked out and is in your lineups, right? So what SaberSim is doing, it's a notification after you have it set up via the steps here. So this is a big thing that we've been working on. Some other things that we're working on, I think that we're trying to get the some support at least for WNBA for this upcoming season, right? So if you go over to our sports, you know, there are some sports in this list that we don't have sims for, but we have the slates up in the app so people can use our optimizer, such as COD, such as soccer, such as college basketball. I think we're going to try and add WNBA to this list. So those are some things that we're working on here. And, you know, we just had our big release yesterday. All right. Another question here in the Discord. Question says, broad question, but what can I do to get an edge? Is there anything I can research that isn't incorporated into the Sims pitch mix? Just curious as to where I should be spending my time to improve. Good question. You know, this one's like a little bit hard. It's always like, hey, you know, if we think that something is actionable, some type of stat or something like that, you know, we're doing our best to incorporate that. I would say that, you know, one thing I've seen in MLB is people in the Discord paying attention to like contextual factors like, hey, it's a guy's first start. Hey, it's a guy's first game off injury. You know, he's ramping up or different things like that, like coaches quotes or beat writers reporting on like how likely a guy is to go deep in a game. And I think like some of those things are like good things that you can pay attention to. You know, we're still like really early in the year. For the most part, we're projecting players as they're going to have like a normal pitching workload. And I think that, you know, there's some opportunity maybe here to look at like how often, how deep into games they're going, how many pitches they're throwing, and maybe make some adjustments to like some pitch counts. I think is a good opportunity to spend some time, at least from what I've seen early on in the year here. All right. Good question there. Mad King said, thank you. Yeah, man. Happy to help out. Happy to give as much insight as I have into what is going on behind the scenes here. But I can tell you that we are basically always innovating and always trying to bring new cool features to the app. All right. Looks like we have a question here coming in from Pickled Bird. I see is typing. So happy to hang out and let this question come in if it is going to come in here. So give him a second here. I would say one other thing, you know, that I didn't mention when building your lineups is always check the weather report. You know, the RotoGrinders has a weather report dashboard that is a free tool to use run by Kevin Roth. And, you know, always get an idea of what the game elements are like, especially in a sport played outdoors. All right. Question from Pickled Bird came in here. And the question says, is there a function that allows you to see prior slate contests to see how your lineups stack and sim ROI compared against the field and the sim itself? Yeah, absolutely. If you're not familiar with our contest flashback tool, I would highly recommend getting familiar with it. So if I go back to, say, you know, yesterday's MLB slate, I go to the main slate here. And if I go to contests, in this contest list, the all contests, I could pull up any contest in the lobby. So say I want to go and look at the flagship. And the contest will load with the actual lineups played here. And there's a couple different ways you could do this, right? You could look at the actual rank of the lineups. This is the players who came in first, second, third, and fourth here. You could look at a user level. You know, this is what we really recommend, is going over to users. And what I like to do is sort by people who max out the contest. These are going to be, you know, some of the best players in the DFS lobby, and then sort by sim ROI and then see how these lineups graded out. You know, you can learn things from how people are playing. You can look at your own lineups and see how you graded out. So we have a lot of good tutorials on how to use our contest flashback tool here, and I will link one of them. So review your results and study the pros contest flashback walkthrough. This is a great video here, and I'm going to drop this in the YouTube chat, and I'm also going to respond to you directly in the Discord and show and link you that video. So this is a great video, shows you how to effectively use this tool, but it is an awesome tool, all things considered. All right. One more question here in the Discord from Absolute Zero. I see Brad is a pickled bird. Brad, glad you're able to learn how to use that tool. It's an awesome feature. Check it out. All right. Absolute Zero says, is there a way to upload ownership or other projections? Yes, there absolutely is. So if you go, I'm going to go back to today's slate. And let's say that, you know, I want to upload ownership or projections and aggregate stuff. Where I go is on the homepage. I go to this upload button. You can upload a CSV, or you can copy and paste the data into the table. Just make sure the headers match. You know, if it's not picking up the projection column because it doesn't recognize the name or something, just click the drop down and make sure the columns match up, and then you click save. And then once you save, it'll be a you'll have the ability to name the source, save it, and then I can come into the gear icon, and then it will be an option for me in this the gear icon is going to allow you to see all the different options. All right. Jumping back to the YouTube chat. Matt King says, SaberSim has a bunch of new videos on YouTube on how to get an edge. We try, man. We try. We've been working hard on some YouTube videos and, you know, updating our content for you guys. All right. Deshaun said, like 2 days ago, the main slate for MLB was 3 games, and a lot of the pitchers didn't have high projections. So I figured SaberSim would get to more of the relief pitchers that way. Relief pitchers can definitely come into play. You know, I don't love using relief pitchers unless I'm playing MLB Showdown. I think that, you know, playing relief pitchers on classic slates is probably going a little too far. Like, I just don't think you need to go that far and try to get that weird with it. You know, there's a lot of opportunities to still get unique through batters, and, you know, duplication isn't like a huge factor in these 10-man lineups. So, I prefer to stay away from like the relief pitchers. I'll probably just usually set like a filter, something that says, you know, show players with, I'll usually, if you have this detailed stats, you could use a projection filter, or you could use like pitches. I'll just use like pitches greater than 50, right? Like, I want somebody who can go deep into a game and is, you know, going to pitch like, decently here. One thing that happened here, right, is I accidentally grayed out all the batters. So make sure that only pitchers are selected when in this apply to selected positions option here, and then it will only apply it to pitchers. So that's one thing here, right? And then if I go and look specifically at my pitchers on this page, well, I'm going to see that players, you know, basically under a 10-point projection, all these guys, all these relief pitchers in like the 4-point range are all grayed out now, which is basically what I wanted. All right. Question from Deuce. When late swapping, does it swap? I swap no matter what, or is there a good chance the lineup, it will leave it the same? So it can definitely leave it the same. So basically what happens is we take your lineup, we lock in the players in the positions that they're already in, and then we run the sims like normal. And then from the sim outputs that we get, we say, okay, this lineup has this much salary left. This lineup has this many positions left. What is the best possible lineup we can build around the players already locked? And sometimes that ends up being the same lineup. Sometimes it ends up being different. But just to be clear, there's nothing in the sim that says it must swap or it must change. It just depends on the sim outputs, but you can definitely get the same lineup that you had before. All right. Looks like we're all caught up here in both the YouTube chat and the Discord. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Had a ton of questions this morning. I know there's a lot of DFS action kicking off within the next like hour and a half here. So hopefully you guys learned something here that can help you to take down some contests today. So good luck, everybody. Take care. I will see you all on Monday. So until then, thanks. Bye.